Spring, winter, fall, or summer, listen to us while your girlfriend gives you a Hummer. This is the Sports Pollution Podcast with Lando and Vinny the Brick. My friend,
yeah. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, this is the Sports Pollution Podcast, Episode 3. You can check us out on our own website. It is sportspollution.podomatic.com. Again, that's sportspollution.podomatic.com. Hop on your computadoras or your smartphones or whatever the hell you use to listen to this shit show and give us a listen.
Good evening. Good evening. How you doing? This is Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian is here.
Coming to you live from Cloud City, baby.
Cloud City. So, Lando, let's jump right into it. What do you think about this Tiger Woods thing? Is he hurt? Is he not?
You know, if you watch ESPN or the Golf Channel or, you know, like when they have the broadcasts on the networks like CBS or whatever, whenever he's playing well, oh, he's back, it's Tiger Woods. And whenever he's not playing well, oh, he's hurt, his back, his knee, whatever. I don't know. That's a good question. I would imagine that he's probably playing with some sort of pain, but I think that they're able to, or he's able to take the out. Oh, I'm hurt, you know, my back, I'm so tired, you know, but then he hits a great shot, and, you know, he's prancing around the green after a long putt, you know. Well, I mean, you can't be that hurt, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think a lot of viewers are starting to get frustrated with is he's taking off these tournaments, he's flying out to Dubai, he's playing in these other tournaments, and then when he shows up, he doesn't play that well, and I'm like, hey, maybe if you focused on the PGA Tour instead of going on all these other places, which, look, I understand why he's going to these other places. He's a huge name,
right?
And he's trying to spread golf out across the world. Look, that's awesome, and I love that, but I want him to win four more so that he can be up there with the Golden Bear,
Jack Nicklaus. You know what, though? It's golf is a sport, and in this day and age where, you know, with the media and internet, Twitter, all that stuff, every sport is going to be more mainstream than it's ever been, you know? So I don't think people are now going to see Tiger Woods as much as maybe they're going to see the people beat him, you know? When that scandal all broke out, you know, a lot of Tiger Woods fans turned against him and were happy whenever he would lose. And what you don't understand is that is the most individual sport ever.
That's tennis.
That's it. Yeah. Right. I mean, you have coaches and advisors and all that shit, but when it comes to the tournament, it's you versus everybody else. And if you can continually finish in the top couple, I don't see how you're bad. You know, now, is Tiger Woods probably playing with an injury? Sure. You know, but any other sport is, you know, either you play or you don't because you're injured. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah, there's I played well for 8 holes and my knee, you know. He played in pain when he won the US Open in 2008 against Rocco Mediate. I mean, he was hurting. He was really hurting, and he finished up and he won. I believe that was his last major that he won.
Yeah.
But like you just said earlier, why did people get all over him after what happened with his wife? You and I were very frustrated at that because we were like, what happened between him and his wife is his business.
Yep. And people are like, oh, well, he's in the public eye. He's got all sorts of endorsements. Still, it still doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't understand why what he chooses to do in his free time. He wasn't doing anything illegal now.
Right.
He was just sleeping around with waitresses and porn stars. That's not illegal.
Right.
You're doing something that...
You're not wrong.
It might be morally wrong, according to society, American society, which I don't understand that either. But I do feel like, you know, he might be still affected from what happened in his personal life. I feel like that's still kind of lingering a little bit.
You're probably right, but I think that the vast majority of people are very forgiving of athletes, celebrities. All you have to do is basically say, listen, I did it, whatever it is, if it's drugs, if it's cheating, if it's being gay, whatever. If you come out and say, hey, you know what, yes, I did it. Okay, on to the next one, you know? Because if there's one thing across the board that all Americans and probably people in the world love, it's a scandal.
That's true.
So once you come out and say, you know what, yeah, I did it. Oh, okay. Well, where's the next scandal? You know, when's the next news story going to break so people can add their 2 cents? And it's stupid to me, you know. And when they got all down on Tiger Woods, I mean, you know, that to me is just, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand why. why people feel the need to be like, oh, well, he cheated on his wife. Obviously, I'm a better person than him. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Why don't you go beat your kids or drink and drive or whatever, you know?
Yeah, like, someone's always hiding something.
Exactly.
You shouldn't judge somebody else because someone else, exactly. You know, you've got something.
Mm-hmm.
But who do you think is going to kind of move up now and kind of start to take his place? There's a few guys now, like, you know, Rory McIlroy.
He's pretty inconsistent, though.
True.
Bubba Watson, same thing.
Bubba Watson, true. Yeah.
You know, so the one thing about Tiger Woods was when he was in his prime, and it's not to say that he can't get back to that form, but he was consistent. You could make almost a safe bet in every tournament that he played he was going to finish number one or in the top five.
He would do
without fail.
Yeah,
you couldn't say that about anybody else. Remember,
that's true.
There was a time where it was Davis Love the third, you know, and then Phil Mickelson.
Mickelson
is good, but you know, he had issues with his back and all that stuff, and you know, it's amazing to me that on SportsCenter or wherever you go on the polls and you look and it says, you know, who do you take to win the Masters this year, Tiger Woods or the field? You know what I mean?
Well,
you know, now you probably take the field, but 5, 6, 7 years ago, you'd be crazy to take anybody.
It was almost always
Woods. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't, honestly, I don't follow golf enough to be able to tell you who's an up and coming star, because it seems like
got a lot of good young guys.
Right. Right.
There's Jordan Spieth. There's Zach Johnson, Dustin Johnson, Jimmy Walker. I mean, there's a bunch. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's a matter of how marketable are those guys and how marketable is Tiger Woods. That's the other thing.
Well,
Tiger Woods is. I think he's the only athlete to ever be worth $1 billion.
I would agree.
So that's pretty amazing. $1 billion.
At least he'll be the first anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be more.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan, when he was playing, had the Nikes, and even still probably with
he
the
still
Nikes.
He still sells Jordans.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I know he's been retired for a while now and still.
Unbelievable, man.
I know, buddy.
So going to your favorite topic in the world, NASCAR.
Yeah,
Dale Earnhardt Jr. did not win this past weekend, but he came in second place for the second consecutive week in a row. Is this his year, you think?
Yes. I don't know. NASCAR's not my thing.
I've always liked him because he's a big Redskins fan.
Huge Redskins
he's
fan.
He's a local guy. Not local. I think he's from North Carolina. But yeah. he fully supports everything that goes on in Richmond and all that kind of stuff. He's a big-time Redskins fan, like you said. But I just like his attitude, man. He seems cool. He seems like someone who can chill with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he was doing commercials with, like, Jay-Z a few years ago.
Right.
He just seems like an awesome guy. And I think when he's doing well, I think that's great for NASCAR, too.
Well, he's got kind of that legacy thing going on with his father, you know. And I think that both helps and hurts him, because until he wins the cup, until he wins, you know, overall an entire season in NASCAR, you know, he's going to be living in the shadow of his father, and that's a shame, but at the same time, I mean, that's just the way it works, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So, but, I mean, I'm pulling for him.
We're rooting for you, Junior.
Mainly because he's a Redskin fan, but exactly. I'm pulling for him because, you know, I like to see different people win. No, that's not to say that someone like Jimmy Johnson, who has won several times, you know, that doesn't mean he's not good, and if he wins, I'm not going to, like, you know, not watch NASCAR, because I got to tell you, I already don't watch it.
Yeah, I watch it a little bit because Ryan Newman, if Ryan Newman finishes in the top 10, you get a free Bloomin' Onion from Outback. So let's get serious.
Wow.
That's a reason to root for somebody.
You go.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Being a fat fuck, you know, that's all the reason in the world. But moving on, so what do you think about the whole heckling situation going on now? It was a whole thing about it today on Outside the Lines.
I did not see Outside the Lines today, but I know that it's a problem. I mean, look at a couple of weeks back, that kid Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State. Nobody has said what the guy said to him that made him push him, but I'm sure it was something.
Whether it
was racially charged or something. I mean, there's no reason why, you know, a fan, unless you're on a test, should go into the stands and
mouse at the
right,
mouse.
Exactly.
Baby.
There's no reason why, you know, you should allow the fans to get to you. Now, having said that, I used to be a season ticket holder for the Redskins, as you well know.
Yeah.
And fans from the Redskins, fans from other teams, I mean, they come and they talk all kinds of shit and it's like the things that they say are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I have no problem going back and forth with a fan. Oh, your team sucks. My team sucks. Whatever. That's fine. You know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But when people start threatening you, I mean, we've seen several fights, and in one instance, on an opening day 2 years ago, home opener, you know, it's a 1 o'clock game, and especially football. Football, you see like the tailgating before. That's pretty big. I don't know if you see that anywhere else, but it's because people are off on Sundays, and I guess Saturdays for college football. But you know, people sit out in the parking lot. They get there 3-4 hours before the game.
They start
drinking. So you know, you're starting drinking at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
you're getting bombed because, let's get serious. Beers are like $9-$10 at a game. I mean, who wants to spend? That's almost a 12-pack of beer.
You can bring a 12-pack
for one. Okay, but okay, let's just you know, move that to the side for a second. So anyway, so these two people come in, and you know, I've seen it too many times where you look at them like, man, these guys are hammered and they do not need to be drinking. And sure enough, they walk up to their seats and they each got two beers in each hand or two beers in their hands. And, you know, they start jaw jacking with fans wearing other team stuff. And, you know, I'm watching this happen. And this woman, I mean, she looked like she was from like a trailer park, just walked right out of a trailer park.
Extra.
Yeah, exactly. And at one point, she stood up. Now, they're like 5, 6, 7 rows in front of us. And she stood up, and I see a spatula sticking out of her back pocket. Like, you're going to be flipping burgers, but, you know, 3rd and 4, you're going to flip a burger? Like, okay, all
she
right.
She forgot to leave that in the parking
exactly,
lot.
Exactly, right.
Apparently.
Or got too drunk and just didn't give a shit. Now, mind you, how she got past security, I'll never know. But okay, all right, just for, you know.
We can't even get an umbrella.
Right. I'm not knocking anybody, but,
yeah.
You know, so she's talking shit to these fans and just going back and forth. And then it turns from friendly shit talking to, I'm going to fight you. And you see him wind up and take a swing. Now, finally, security comes up and escorts her out. And as she's being escorted out, she takes this wild swing at another girl, completely misses by feet. Not like, it's not like boxing where you see him take a swing and they miss by a few, you know, inches. It's, she took a swing and missed completely. And it's just ridiculous. Now, when you sit up in the seats that are closer to the top of the stadium, those are more, I don't want to say cheap because let's get serious. NFL tickets are not cheap.
No tickets are
but,
cheap.
But, you know, you sit up there and you expect to be around people who are drunk. You also expect to be around other teams' fans. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. You know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, they want to come support the team. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I don't want to hear them. I would rather be surrounded by a bunch of my own team's fans, but fine. You know, I got no problem with people coming, having a good time, being able to take a joke, being able to give a joke, fine. But I will never fight over my teams, ever, physically fight. I'll argue all day. We can have a 24-hour argument about free agency or whomever, and I can do that all day, and I can tell you why your team sucks, in my opinion, and you can tell me why your team sucks, and we're not going to fight. It's not going to be...
Yeah, but you don't ever let it get malicious either. You've had intelligent arguments with fans.
I'd like to think so, anyway.
But wouldn't you say the common denominator here is obviously alcohol?
Alcohol and probably an unhappy home life.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people tend to try and live vicariously through their teams. Now, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen who are listening. I go crazy for my team, okay?
I was going to say,
I jump and carry on, and I'll scream at the TV like they can hear me, and I will chew gum like I'm coaching the team and walk pace in front of the team. You know, like, I get nervous and excited, but you know what? That's a healthy release for me from my work week, you know, and doing something and watching something that I love. Now, obviously, outside of the season before, you know, it's been pretty tough to watch the Redskins. But you know what? Every Sunday I'm there. I got my, you know, no matter, regardless of what happened the Sunday before, I'm there. I'm excited. I think they can beat any team any week, and that's cool. Now, I don't really drink all that much, but I'd imagine that even if I did get bombed at a game, I still wouldn't be fighting with people. Would you agree with that? I mean, you know me. You know me for years.
I would absolutely agree with you. I've never, ever, ever seen you initiate any kind of physical interaction, even verbal. I mean, you always have fun. You're very funny and respectful. Mm-hmm. Like when we were at the Giants game 2 years ago, that Giants fan almost killed a guy.
Yeah.
He was choking him for I don't know how long. Yep. Finally, security came by. And you know what? Security at FedEx Field is actually pretty good.
And
as
quick.
Far as
they're
they
quick.
Respond,
yeah.
They're pretty fast. But once again, it just seems like it's always a guy. And I mean, yeah, it can be females every once in a while, but it's always some guy who's pissed off about something else. Yeah. And he's just saying all this ridiculous shit, which leads me to my next point. How do you bring, if you're a family man and you got wife and kids or whatever, how the fuck do you consciously bring your wife and kids or even just your kids to a game? You've heard some of the shit that comes out of these people. Now, suck my cock, you fucking retard. Yeah. I'm going to rape your sister and all this stuff.
Yeah, and that was just you.
That was just me. I mean, that wasn't even all the other fans. God knows what the fuck they were saying. I mean, it's terrible.
You got me on that one. I don't know. I mean, I don't have kids, but you know, I have nephews, and I don't foresee me bringing them to a game until they're able to at least understand what's going on. I mean, because grown men fighting and throwing punches and spitting and throwing up on people. I mean, that's so disgusting. And you know, there's enough violence in the world if you just watch the news.
Yeah, you don't even have to.
You know,
go to a fucking
exactly,
game.
Exactly. You know, you don't want to expose your kids or family to something like that. And not to mention, with all those people pretty much on top of each other, you know, even if you're not involved in a fight, if a fight happens or if somebody gets drunk and drops their food on you, you know, that might lead you to want to protect your family or take a swing at a guy, you know, because he's so drunk. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
We saw a guy so drunk, he knocked an entire thing of nacho cheese all over some seven-year-old.
Yep. Poor kid. Felt bad for him. I was like, what? It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. Like, what are you doing
you
with your life?
You told the guy. You were like, go down and get napkins right now.
Yeah. He sat there. I was like, what are you doing? Are you enjoying the show? Like, I don't understand. Like,
Lando looked at the guy who had just spilled his nachos, the entire thing of nachos all over the seven-year-old kid. He looked right at him and said, go down and get napkins right now.
Yeah. I just
what are you doing?
Yeah, what is going on? What is going on?
No, but I think that's a big deterrent when you think about it. And these owners and the commissioners and everything of it's all the leagues. It's not just the NFL.
Right,
it's the NBA,
right.
The NHL, everything. They need to think about making more money. I know they love that, right? So why wouldn't they want more people in the seats?
Well, I think football is kind of different because they get 8 regular season home games, 2 preseason games. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee of any sort of playoff appearances, anything like that. So they have to charge more to make more. I don't really agree with it, but I understand it. You know, like baseball, you get 81 home games. Basketball and ice hockey, you get 41. You know, football, you get 8. So that's why tickets are more expensive. And I think that if you go to a baseball game, you know, it's a lot more cost effective. But at the same time, that's more money that fans, especially like the alcoholic fans, can go and buy more beer because, oh, I bought a $5 ticket or $7 ticket to come see a game. You can't even go see a movie for that price.
You can't.
You
absolutely
know?
Right.
The Wolf of Wall Street, no, but you can go see, you know, a guy hit a ball 400 feet. So I think that alcohol is a major reason for that. But, you know, you got to figure these people are unhappy probably in other aspects of their life. That doesn't excuse their actions, but if you get them in an event where a bunch of people are, especially people that don't agree with them,
that's
you know,
true.
Like another team's fan, and you get them a few drinks, it's kind of like a perfect storm and a recipe for a fight. So I don't know. I still enjoy going, but you know what? I don't have a problem sitting on my couch, you know?
Oh, I love it, man. Having free access to beer.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't say free access, but cheaper, much cheaper
right.
beer. You can eat whatever food you want. You can order food, have it delivered to your house.
Mm-hmm.
You can get up and go to the bathroom without waiting in lines and having a guy shit all over the wall because he's mad because he has to wait in line. I mean, we've seen it all.
You also don't have to listen to other teams' fans unless you invite them over, but then that would be your fault. So.
Yeah. That's your own fault. So what about the things that you say when you're heckling? Because on the outside the lines, they were getting into, you know, what is covered by the First Amendment, and it turns out that almost everything is.
Exactly.
Unless you verbally threaten to kill someone and then
have
the means to carry that action out.
Correct.
Other than that, you can't really there's no legal grounds. I could be at a game and say the most horrible shit in the world, and if they remove me, I could go to the ACLU or whoever else, and I would have a legit argument there.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch, like, before the games, they have, like, the fan code of conduct, like, you know, watch what you say, don't heckle, have a good time, but be respectful of other teams' fans, be respectful of the other team and coaches and all that. You know, and I mean, I guess they do that because they have to, but you're right. There's no real way to enforce that now.
Yeah.
If somebody's being unruly or acting out, you know, outside of just saying stuff, you know, then you have more of a leg to stand on. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they can pretty much say whatever it is that they want. So
yeah, it's the cursed words, it's the racist comments,
right?
It's things like that that you should just generally steer away from, unless you think that they're really funny. you should think about it in your head before right. you say it, and if it makes you laugh pretty hard, then you might want to say it. But I would definitely recommend, as a fan, just not going to that level unless you're ready to get into a physical altercation with somebody. You've got to be ready. If you're going to make comments, you got to be ready to back them up. And I just kind of feel like a lot of these fans also, like you said, when they get a little bit of liquid courage in them, they think that they can just say whatever they want and there's going to be no repercussions. But, you know, as we've seen, that is not the case.
That is not.
But moving on from that, what do you think about this whole NFL free agency deal?
You know,
it's getting pretty interesting here.
You know, all right. Here's the deal. I'm just going to get right to the point here. I love free agency. It's like Christmas morning. You know, you know the names of these guys, but, you know, the contract negotiation, I mean, every team employs somebody who, like, studies the cap. They find ways to structure contracts. I mean, that's the real science of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now you get a team like the Raiders who are over $60 million under the cap, you know, and the Buccaneers 2 years ago were like $45 million under the cap. I think the NFL should have a minimum that you can pay team or that you have to pay guys and have, so that teams can't have. I mean, $60 million under the cap. That's a bit excessive. You know, the Raiders could go out and pretty much buy an entire team this offseason.
But here's the thing, though. Do you penalize them
for being
under the cap?
There's no penalty. All I'm saying is you have to. I mean, you could, like, maybe take a draft pick. Maybe the first time it's a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick. And then if they haven't spent, you know, it just encourages parity, because if the same teams are stocking up on guys like the Seattle Seahawks, I don't know how they do it. I don't know.
I have no fucking
idea. They seem to, you know, they traded for Percy Harvin. They got pretty much every defensive end in the league. And, you know, I don't know what their cap situation is like because I can't stand them. But, you know. Then you got teams like the Raiders, you know, like I said, $60 million under the cap. I mean, they should have to have a minimum, only because you don't want other teams to get loaded. Like, that's how you keep a team from being a dynasty. And not that the NFL minds dynasties, but fans do. Like, I don't want to watch the Seahawks in the Super Bowl next year. That Super Bowl was atrocious.
Yeah,
you know,
it was fucking terrible.
You know, and you know, you get teams like San Francisco, who, you know, they re-sign Anquan Boldin, but to do that, they're going to have to cut Carlos Rogers. You know, he was a big part of their secondary. Dante Whitner is apparently going to go, but, you know, that's kind of getting off the point. The point is, I enjoy free agency. I enjoy, you know, keeping my Twitter feed pretty much open all day tomorrow, because I think free agency starts at 3 or 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and I'll be tuning in to, you know, the sports radio in my car, and, you know, I'm going to be very in tune with all the goings on in the NFL because I'm interested. Now, as you know, the Redskins have some money to play with finally after spending 2 years in that bullshit, you know, salary cap, whatever. And I don't think that they're going to. Oh wow, the Capitals are losing 2-1 already.
The Caps are down 2-1
to the Penguins. Crosby has a goal and assist in the first period. Eric Fair scoring. Anyway, sorry.
As it should be.
The Penguins suck. I enjoy these reports. I enjoy, you know, the hard work that goes into some of these journalists who follow these teams, and they have sources inside, and they try to tell you who's going to get signed here and how much the deal is going to be worth. Now, on Saturday, this past Saturday, teams could contact impending free agents and say, listen, we can't make you an offer, but if we were, we'd offer you something in the area of 4 years at X amount of dollars or whatever.
Gotcha, yeah.
So that's where if you've been following the Twitter, you can see, oh, you know, this guy's expected to sign here and this guy's expected to sign here, but they can't actually do it until 4 o'clock tomorrow. So I'd imagine the first couple of days you're going to see a lot of the big name guys get bigger contracts. Now, Bill Polian, who used to be the Indianapolis Colts general manager, said that all the playmakers have either been franchise tagged, like Brian Arakpo, or been signed. And I don't know if I agree with that, but I would defer to his knowledge of the game more than mine.
Let's run through them real quick. We got Jarius Byrd.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say that's probably the biggest free agent on the market right now.
Eugene Monroe.
Yeah. You know, linemen, honestly, linemen, to me, they're very important pieces, but...
They can be huge, though.
They can be. Absolutely. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s, you know, they had Irvin and Aikman and Emmitt Smith, and don't get me wrong, those guys are great because they're all in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, it's the offensive line.
Opening up holes. Exactly. And giving a quarterback five to seven seconds to throw the ball every down.
They never really get the credit that they deserve. Offensive linemen. You know, the only time you know their names is if they're holding, false starts, or if they're just getting abused.
Or if they're absolutely beasts, Hall of Famers. Anthony Munoz.
Right, right.
Guys like that who you just know. I'm like, right. They're fucking amazing.
I'm talking about nowadays. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know,
yeah.
You know a couple of the offensive linemen because they're constant Pro Bowlers, like Trent Williams, Jason Peters, you know, and I'm sorry for my bias, you know, in the NFC East, but, you know.
Huge bias.
Right. But, you know these guys, you know. I don't know how you determine who's a Pro Bowler on the offensive line because they don't really keep stats. I mean, they have, like, that pancake stack where they, like, knock people over, and that's a stat, but I don't know.
If there was a stat for pancakes, I should have
that. That's right. You
fuck a lot of them, so.
Indeed.
What about Aqib Talib? You think he's going to be a Redskin?
I hope not. And it's not because he can't play. It's that he can't play a full season. I mean, when's the last time he went 16 games? It's probably still Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have no idea.
No, that's true. He's had a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, and he's going to want to demand a lot of money. Now, it's not that the Redskins don't have the money. It's that they have so many holes that they need to fill that you can't lock it up in one person. And I know that they just put the franchise tag on Brian Arakpo, but still, they still have $20+ million. So there's a lot of money in that. And, you know, I think a guy like Talib is going to want like $9 to $10 million a year. You know, no thanks.
What about Darren Sproles? He just got cut recently.
Yeah, they're apparently on the Twitter, obviously. There was a report that the Redskins were the front runners to get him. And honestly, I if they get him, that's great. But
is it great? How old is he?
30. He'll be 30. But, you know, he's not going to start, obviously, because Alfred Morris, unless there's some sort of injury, Alfred Morris is going to start. And
what do you say to the Redskins fans that say, we don't need him, we got Roy Helu, he's just as good as Darren Sproles is?
I tend to agree, but, you know, Roy Helu's another guy that, outside of this past season, had trouble staying healthy.
Had injury problems.
You know, and he's a smaller guy. I mean, Sproles is small, but he's built. You know what I mean? He's small, but he's jacked. So I wouldn't mind it, but again, you have to spend wisely, not just spend, you know? Does that make sense?
It does. Here's a name I'm going to throw out to you. I want you to tell me, what do you think is going to happen to him?
Okay.
Michael Vick.
From what I understand, he's going to probably go to a team like the Jets. And Adrian Peterson earlier in the week, or last week, said that he wanted him to come to Minnesota. And you know what? Adrian Peterson's probably right. If Michael Vick wants to win, a team like the Vikings will probably give him A shot to start, and B, the best opportunity to be effective. You know, because if he goes to the Jets, you know, who's he going to throw to? They just cut Santonio Holmes, so who's he going to throw to?
Yeah.
The guy Hill? What's the tight end? Cumberland? Jeff Cumberland? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he
Chris Ivory? You know what I mean? Like,
Jets. I would much rather, if I'm Vic, I definitely would rather go to the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, yeah. If I've got one of the greatest running backs of our generation, if not the greatest running back of our generation, AP, actively saying that he wants him to be there, then yeah, that's where I would go.
Right.
What about here's a good one. What about Ben Tate?
Honestly, I don't much care for.
Do you think he's overrated?
I know. You know what? Running backs can't really be overrated. I don't think. I think they can be underrated, but they can be overrated. I.e., Darren McFadden, but.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at a guy like Ben Tate, I mean, he's had to play significant time because Arian Foster's been hurt. But does that mean that he gets starter money? Because, you know, he wasn't in the Texans' plan to start. He was forced to start because of injury. So is he going to go to a team that's kind of a similar position where maybe they have a running back who's good but, you know, is injury prone and he's going to be the guy? Because if that's the case, I wouldn't leave Houston. although Houston's, you know, had a shitty year last year, their team is still pretty much loaded. And with a few draft choices and the right free agents, they could turn their season around, or, you know, they could turn their team around and be contenders for that title next year.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago Bears, I almost said the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bears cut Michael Bush.
Michael's Bush. That's a hell of a cut Michael on that Bush.
You have to know our relationship to understand that.
NH, fellas, NH. What about Hakeem Nicks? I mean, here's a big-time wide receiver who just a couple years ago was top 5 or 10
yep,
in the league.
I remember.
Last year, he did what rhymes with jack fucking shit. He did nothing because I had him on my fantasy football team. And, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think he scored a touchdown the entire fucking season.
Here's the issue with Hakeem Nicks. He's another guy whose body is kind of failing him. You know, he can't stay healthy.
His foot, his ankle, his knee, his and ass, his arm.
It didn't help that Eli Manning didn't have a good year.
Oh, Eli had. Did he not have the most interceptions?
Yeah,
our quarterback.
Yeah, it was like 31 or 32 interceptions. It was horrendous. I mean, that's two a game.
What are you doing?
That's an average of two a game. That's a lot. That's the difference between winning games and losing games. Is turnovers.
And then they want to blame. Here's the thing. You want to blame it on the offensive line. That's fine. What did you do in the offseason to address that need? I hate how these franchises say, "Oh, it's the offensive line." Then what did you?
Well, they used their first round pick on a lineman,
and that's fine. But if you knew your offensive line was going to be that fucking bad. Or if it was gotten devastated by injuries.
Well, but
you have to make moves.
I understand.
You can't just sit around. And here's the other thing that goes right into free agency. What does the NFL need to do to keep teams from just purposely going under and tanking? What do they got to do? What needs to be done here?
That's a good question. You know, I like...
Because you know what? You get rewarded for fucking tanking. Well, you get rewarded. You get the first round draft pick.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You may get rewarded as far as getting players, but fans don't like it.
Fans don't like it.
You know?
But what is the NFL doing about it?
I'm pissed off that the Redskins, you know, would have had the number 2 overall pick. And you know what? That's a separate issue. I still like the trade. I'm still happy with RG3. I think that people, you know, were praising him 1 year, and they've completely turned on him in a second year, and I think that that's just not fair.
Yeah.
Like, you know, their team, their whole team from top to bottom was, outside of Pierre Garçon and Alfred Morris, they were pretty atrocious. Both sides of the ball, special teams was the worst ever or one of the worst ever. So I don't have a problem with that trade. But, you know, I have a problem with them having the second pick. Not because they don't have it, but, you know, they're going to be number 2 in the second through seventh rounds.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where scouting comes in. You know, if you have the scouts, it's not going to matter where you pick. You could win the Super Bowl, and with that 32nd overall pick in the first round, you better find somebody who can play, because it shouldn't matter. You know, like if you look at the Patriots, they stockpile draft picks, and they value draft picks more than they value free agents. I mean, they really don't spend.
And where are they drafting from, though?
Right. Well, right? They're drafting.
Lando, they're drafting the 30th pick, the 31st pick, the 29th pick, and they're always consistently good every year.
But that's the point, is that they're not tanking.
They're not saying, but the NFL is rewarding these shitty teams with horrible GMs, horrible ownership, horrible scouts, because their teams suck.
But
and they're getting the first round pick every year, and they're still Cleveland Browns. Perfect example.
But what are you going to do? Are you going to have a lottery where the team that just won the Super Bowl has a chance to get the first overall pick? You can't do that.
You can't, and you're right, because it will create exactly what you said. Look at the Seattle Seahawks. They're never going to get any worse.
Right.
They're just going to keep getting better and better. But then what's the answer?
Do you
penalize these teams that finish towards the end?
How do you determine who's tanking?
Oh, I mean,
how do you determine who's tanking?
Yes, you are right. There's no scientific
just because you lose just because you
out.
Lose 13 or 14 games a year doesn't mean you're tanking. It just means you're fucking shitty.
That's a good point. I mean, did the Detroit Lions in 2009? Did they purposely go 0-16? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they did have a quarterback run out of bounds for safety. Yeah. What?
Yeah, who the fuck does
that? Let me just tell you, if that was my team, I would have burnt down the stadium.
I mean, how do you go 0-16, though? Here's the other thing.
You have to try, I guess. I don't know.
The NFL says every year, we try to do this to create parity. Where is the parity, though?
Well, I mean, the question is, you know, look at a team like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They were 2-14 2 years ago, and then Andy Reid comes, and they, you know, They didn't win their division because, you know, Denver was rocking out, but they went to the playoffs. You know, they made a few free agent moves, and now, you know, they're good again. And I would imagine that they're going to be good or better than they were this year upcoming.
Yeah.
You know, in the same sentence, look at the Falcons. They were in an NFC championship game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They had a horrible season last year.
Injuries and stuff right. like that. You can't account. I understand that. You can't account for things like injuries. Right. Nobody knows going into the season who's going to get a torn ACL.
Exactly.
Who's going to get a fracture, this and that. Who's going to be out for the season. I understand that. But correct me if I'm wrong. There are four NFL teams that have never in their history since 1963, since the first Super Bowl, right,
mm-hmm.
have never hosted a Super Bowl and have never been in a Super Bowl.
Four teams?
Four teams. I think it's the Jaguars, which they don't really count that much because they were new. Super Bowl.
Remember Donovan McNabb threw up against the...
Okay, so they did. So the Browns are one. I know that for sure.
Right.
The Browns have never hosted a Super Bowl and they've never played in a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I think... Who are the other teams?
Well, teams that have never won, and I love throwing this out, the Philadelphia Eagles.
But they've been. Well, they lost to Oakland in 80, right. and they lost to the Patriots, New England in 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, teams like that, though, how do you continue to be a successful NFL franchise? They're selling tickets year after year, and they're terrible.
Well,
I don't understand.
You know what, though? I think, and I may be giving the Browns a little bit too much credit, but I think they're in a position now to where they can break out. I mean, they traded away Trent Richardson knowing that he's just a running back.
You know, they got a hell of a deal for
him. He's not Adrian Peterson.
No. You
know? And that's nothing really against Trent Richardson because, you know, I think maybe playing in Cleveland was tough, although, you know, the guys that they had come in play after him, you know, played pretty well.
They were fine. Yeah.
And I think that they have two first-round picks. So I'd imagine that their team is going to be better than it was. That's my inclination is that they're going to be better than they were. So I mean, I would imagine though if they continue to be shitty, people aren't going to go. Like that's the only real penalty that a team can face is when teams are shitty, you know, and they're not signing free agents and they're not having good drafts and you know their teams are unwatchable.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't pay my hard-earned money to go watch shit.
Yeah.
You know,
but then there are some diehard fans who look forward to this time of the year,
right?
A lot because they're like, "Oh my God, this is our opportunity to take advantage of this, and this." And if you're a Browns fan, you don't even care anymore. Has been so fucking disappointing and inept and just completely terrible that
I agree. Listen,
how do they get up every morning?
Well,
and pay for these season tickets.
You know what?
How do they do it?
But the difference is I think the Browns now can say, listen, you're paying your season tickets to see Josh Gordon have 200-yard receiving games like he did last year.
Yeah.
You're paying to see whoever we draft, whether it's probably one or two. You know, they're going to use one of their picks probably on a quarterback because they have a fairly high pick. So they're going to get like maybe Teddy Bridgewater, maybe, you know, Bortles. I don't know. Maybe Johnny Manziel. I would probably personally stay away from him because he's, you know.
Off the field issues,
right? But whatever. And you know what? If it were me, and I watched him play bad, you know, I mean, Brian Hoyer came in and played well. If you tailor an offense to a guy that you draft, and you make smart, good depth signings in free agency, and you have a good draft, and you draft maybe a playmaking quarterback, and with your second first round pick, you draft one of these big, tall, fast receivers, or somebody in the secondary, or wherever you need holes. I mean, they did just cut DeQuell Jackson, so they probably need help on the offensive. I mean, in their linebacking.
Yeah, he was a good linebacker.
Right, he was great. He signed with the Colts. That's a hell of a signing.
Jason Worlds might be available.
No, he's not. But the Steelers are going to cut Lamar Woodley tomorrow.
You think so?
They said. Yeah, I said it on Twitter.
Holy shit! I like Lamar Woodley, but like you were saying with these other players, they just
that's the Steelers, man. If you're a linebacker there, when your time is up, it's up.
That's it. Yeah,
it's up. I mean,
just like New England, they don't care. Yeah. They don't. Oh, yeah. He played well for us, and we kind of owe him this contract. No, they don't think like that.
I agree. I mean, you know, I just think that if you're going to sign with a team, you have to. The player has to sign for them for the right reasons, and it can't just be about paydays. That's been especially here. I don't know about anybody else who's listening to teams, but here in D.C., it seems like players come here for this big contract and they don't play. Now, there are exceptions, i.e. London Fletcher. You know, he's the guy that I point to. Even Pierre Garçon, he got a pretty big payday. But, you know, he had the most catches in the league last year.
He really did. He really did lead the league. You were right about that.
You know, so.
I thought you were exaggerating. No, I looked it up and you were accurate.
But, you know, it has to be right for the player. Like, if I'm a guy who has not won a Super Bowl yet, I try to put myself, and I'm a free agent, I try to put myself in a position to maybe take less money to be on a team that I think has a chance to win a Super Bowl as opposed to taking more money and going to be the guy. Now, that's just the way that I am. Some guys are like, fuck it, I'm trying to get paid. I'm not going to play football my whole life. I got a family to feed or, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. But I feel like you need to put yourself in a position to do that. And if you're the team, you can't spend. If you offer a guy a contract and he's like, you know what, that's not enough, fuck him, move on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Even if he's the best player available, fuck him. There's somebody else available who will play for less money and be as effective, or maybe you sign two guys to play a position. Like, instead of signing one giant, huge off-season free agent like a safety, maybe you sign a safety and a guy who can play corner and safety for less money, and then you can address another need in that space that you have now saved because this guy told you the money's not enough. I mean, that's kind of getting down to the minutia of free agency, but it's true.
It's getting down to the minutia, but it's also what makes successful NFL franchises and what doesn't. Look, as much as I hate the Ravens, look at the Ravens.
Yeah.
Look at them. Ozzie Newsome is a goddamn genius, and I have no problem admitting it because he is.
Right.
Look at what he did with that franchise.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
They were the Browns, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He turned it around. He created a great franchise. They're right up there with New England. They're right up there with the Steelers.
Yeah.
They're right up there with until most recently, you know, a lot of good teams that just, how do you describe it? Are they able to just do everything right? The owner, the GM, the all the scouts that are on the street, they're all doing the right thing.
I would say from the top, probably the owner taking a hands-off approach, saying, you know what, you tell me who you want to sign and how much you want to sign them for, and I'll write the check, and that's, I don't want anything to do with that. And for all the criticism that Dan Snyder gets, I think that, you know, he really did a pretty good job of staying out of that whole Shanahan thing and let Shanahan sign the guys.
We won't ever know for sure, but yeah, I mean,
but what I'm saying was,
he does love the Redskins.
Before that,
he doesn't hate the Redskins and want them to lose. He loves the Redskins.
But what I'm saying is, you know, before that, he was the guy flying out to meet with free agents saying, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars for X amount of years, and you just come and play. And that's kind of what fucked him for years. But anyway, that's where it is. I think you have to have a competent GM who knows what needs you need. You have to know who you're looking to sign as far as what players you need, what position you need them to play, and you have to decide if you want to sign a guy who's getting his first, you know, after his rookie contract, his first big contract day, or a guy who's maybe been paid once or twice and is on the downside of his career. Because I would give more money to a guy who's coming off of his first rookie contract and trying to get money. You know, he might get a longer deal from me than, say, somebody who's 30, 32, who can still play, who's been, you know, a very above-average player in the league, but you know that you're only going to get maybe two or three solid years from them. Again, a guy like London Fletcher is kind of the exception, not the rule, you know, because he was able to play at a high level. I think last year it kind of showed that he was on his way out, but he was able to play at a high level for his entire contract here. You know, I mean, he hadn't been to the Pro Bowl before he came to D.C., and he ended up going to three. So,
that is true. I mean, I just think it's getting a little real frustrating for a lot of fans out there that say, why am I getting season tickets? Why do I keep loving this team that does not do anything to make itself better?
Right.
I mean, when you haven't been to the playoffs in, you know, 15 years, and you haven't had a winning season in 10 years or 8 years or 5 years, I mean, good Lord, what do you got to do here?
And you know, to continue that, you know, you have to have a GM who's competent. But you know what? It's the scouts. Not just for the first round talent or the second round talent, but you have to find players in the late rounds that can still contribute to your teams.
Absolutely.
Tom Brady, 7th round pick. Now, at that point, you're just kind of picking players and you're picking, you know, okay, you know, I'm going to take an offensive lineman because he's available and he's big and he fits my scheme. Okay, fine. Or I'm going to take a running back because I like the way he catches passes or the way he pass blocks or whatever. I get that. But, you know,
Tom Brady ran the 40 like Lurch from the Adams family. I mean, it was just horrendous.
Right. But like a guy like Richard Sherman, fifth round pick.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, a fifth round pick. And, you know, maybe they didn't anticipate him being as good as he was. But you know what? He came to play, and he backs up his shit talking, which I don't really like.
He scared the shit out of Aaron Harris. That's what he did.
What were they saying to you? Yeah.
I've never seen a woman more scared of my life.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Who am I kidding?
Yeah.
But,
oh, dear.
That's good. You're right.
Yeah. And
you're right.
You know, we could talk all day about NFL free agency, and, you know, by the time our next podcast comes around, there will be big names in new places.
Oh, huge names.
And we'll be able to dissect that, and I think it will help get a better understanding of what, you know, where teams are going, what direction teams are going, you know, because like I said, a team like the Raiders with that much cap space, they may spend a ton of money on guys and overpay for a safety or a receiver or whomever, and that may not make them any better. But a team like, say, the Cowboys, who have $1 million in cap space, who are you going to sign for $1 million? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
You know, you're going to sign, you know, league minimum contracts to people. So,
and then once again, the Redskins and the Cowboys spend money in an uncapped year and get penalized for it, yet somehow the Oakland Raiders are $60 million on the cap.
Yeah, well, that's because
how that makes sense, I have no idea.
Because they have nobody on their team. I mean, who's a big money player on their team? They don't have Darius Hayward Bay anymore. He was signed in, you know, the
Crickets. Yeah, nobody.
Exactly. One of their big defensive free agents, you know, Lamar Houston is a free agent, and I'd imagine he's probably going to garner a lot of interest from a lot of different teams. So, I mean, they really have nobody.
And then there'll be $80 million.
Yeah, well, no, he's a free agent. So.
Nah, I know.
Yeah, but I don't understand it, but.
But you said it well. It's the owner. It's the GM's relationship. It's the head coach. It's everybody. Which brings us into our next topic. What is going on in San Francisco with the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh? I mean, what is the problem there?
Excellent question. Excellent question.
Are they going to trade him?
Trade him. How exactly do you trade a head coach? Now, I know that the Buccaneers and the Raiders traded John Gruden and all that stuff. But why on earth, if you're the Browns, why on earth would you trade for anybody? Why on earth?
If you're the Browns.
Yeah, but, yeah, if you're the Browns.
The 49ers.
Yeah, if you're the Browns, why would you trade?
Who are they going to trade? Have there been any rumors out there?
No, it would be
Adam Schefter rumors?
It would be draft picks and probably some sort of cash consideration.
But here's the thing. What had to have happened? With Jim Harbaugh.
I don't know.
He's been to the NFC Championship game and then the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
three straight NFC Championship games. You don't trade that guy if I'm a 49ers fan.
But you know what, though? I mean, we don't know. We don't have all the information as to why shit is bad. We have no idea.
Fans say that he's an asshole. His personality
whatever.
Conflicts. Is that a reason to trade somebody?
The fans are going to say whatever they want. I've said it, you know. I'll look and say, this guy sucks, he's a terrible coach, and then, you know, next week when they win, oh, what a great call. You know what I mean? That's what fans do. We tend to overreact as fans, and that's fine. That's our job.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're called fans. Fans is short for fanatics. So let's just, you know, keep that in mind. But, you know, we're not the ones that are in player meetings. We're not the one who are at practices, who's having meetings with the owner and the general manager. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, I could totally understand if the GM, you know, is like, yo, this dude's a fucking prick. I can understand that. He looks like a prick.
But it makes me laugh at the hypocrisy of all these ESPN analysts and everybody who says all that matters is the win column. That's all that matters is the win column. Right. Well, if all that matters is the win column, then if his personality sucks and he's a little bit of an asshole, or maybe he's, you know, corrosive to the environment a little bit or whatever, you're winning football games. What else matters? I don't understand that.
I would rather have an asshole here and be in three straight NFC championship games than the nicest guy in the world, like Jim Zorn, who talked for fucking 40 minutes in press conferences.
He gave away the entire offensive playbook.
Well, yeah.
I mean, good Lord.
That's another topic for another day. But
I'll take him in Washington. If they dump Jay Gruden right now and they grab Jim Harbaugh, I got no problem with that.
I'm actually excited to see Jay Gruden. I'm excited to see his offense here. I'm excited to see.
What about Jay Gruden makes you excited? Because you're not the only Redskins fan or fan of the NFL that just likes Jay Gruden.
You know,
he seems like he's a very funny, likable kind of guy.
I think that, first of all, he's a guy who's experienced his highs and lows as a player.
Yeah.
And can pass that sort of experience on to these guys. I mean, now, he wouldn't have to pass along a whole lot of lows because, you know, 2 years ago, they were on this high because they won the NFC East, hadn't done that since 1999. Great. But, you know, last year they were 3-13. There was all sort of drama and reports leaking out about this and that and all this other shit. You know, so I'd imagine, hopefully,
yeah,
the guys in that locker room learned that that's not fun. Like this is not where we want to be. But like I said, if for example they have to, he can guide like RG3 and the rest of these guys through something like that and pass along his experience, that's fine. But you know, people talk shit about his offenses in the playoffs, but look at the Cincinnati Bengals offenses since Andy Dalton and AJ Green has been there. Now, do the Redskins have Andy Dalton and AJ Green? No, they have Pierre Garçon. They have RG3. They got Alfred Moore. You know, they have the tools there. Now they need to rebuild their offensive line, but if they do that smartly, they can have an offense similar to the Bengals. That's exciting.
Yeah,
I mean, they score points. They can score points quickly. You got big, tall receivers. That's who they're going to sign, hopefully, in free agency. Guys like Kenny Britt, who will not command a whole lot of money because he hasn't really earned it.
Exactly.
But he's a big, tall receiver.
He can be very useful.
Right.
Yeah.
And hopefully they rebuild their offensive line. So I'm excited for that. And I think, I don't know how much of this I choose to believe or not, but apparently they say Shanahan was influential on defense and didn't really let the guys run loose. And Hazlitt said that he is going to unleash Kerrigan and Arakpo more than they were last year. So I don't really know what that means because, I mean, it sounds all good, you know, in January and February and March when you're saying it. But until you see it in September, October, November, December, that's just words to me.
That's,
you know,
true.
So I'm excited just for the change of pace. I mean, if you look, Shanahan was like a poker player, like Doyle Brunson.
Doyle Brunson, yeah.
Sitting at the table, you know, looking at his cards and not showing anybody, you know, the whole pocket cam, whatever. And Jay Gruden's more like the guy that you go out drinking with on a Friday night, like a coworker that you kind of know but not really.
Seems like a cool guy. Right. But he's not like Jim Zorn, who's going to open up his offensive playbook to you either.
Right.
He's going to kind of keep it close to the vest but also be very cordial and candid with the media, which is good because he seems like he's got a really good personality, the complete opposite of Jim Harbaugh. So what do you think about the spring training, man? You're going down to Florida.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get away from this fucking snow.
Yeah, too much snow, man. Every other week, it's going to be a blizzard. It's going to be an avalanche. What the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
Christ.
I love going down there. I mean, you get to see the players, you know, more relaxed because obviously the season had started and they're working on something. You know, maybe you see a hitter go 0-15, but the reason he's going 0-15 is because he's trying to place the ball in a certain spot, like trying to hit opposite field instead of trying to pull everything or whatever, or pitchers working on new pitches.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I'm also excited to see, you know, just the team. Like, I love baseball. I've been a fan of baseball.
You've always loved baseball.
Since I can remember.
Ever.
And it's just nice to go down and see these guys getting ready for a long season, because it is a long fucking season. They're going to experience injury and 10-game win streaks and then 4- and 5-game losing streaks. I mean, that's just baseball. Any team that doesn't do that, you know, that's not – you build character through going through shit like that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, it's just nice to see them in more of a relaxed atmosphere, because when the season starts, it's not – they shouldn't be relaxed anyway. I mean, they should, you know, play their game, but, you know, you have to – you know, tighten it up a little bit and be more ready than, you know, maybe being down in the spring and knowing that the weather's nice and, you know, lots of kids out watching you and trying to be like you when they grow up. I mean, that's just cool to me to see.
It really is.
Yeah.
Who's lighting it up right now in spring training? Who's looking good?
I watched the Nationals game yesterday. Desmond is hitting the ball well.
He's going to be good this year. Absolutely.
Anthony Rendon hit a bomb to lead off the game.
When they got Ian Desmond, I remember some guy telling you that he was going to be the next Derek Jeter.
I didn't believe it, but it's true.
I definitely said that years ago when they first got him.
Oh, some guy being you. Wow.
Some guy named me who was correct, and you just admitted it on national live television.
Wow. Yeah, well, I don't know about the next Derek Jeter, because Derek Jeter is a career 300 hitter. Desmond's not hitting over 300.
Oh, I know. Derek Jeter will go down in history as quite possibly the best Yankee.
I agree. I mean, he's...
We're talking Babe Ruth,
win
five
Garrick, rings?
Mickey
I mean,
Mellon.
Those guys won, you know, similar to that. Now, you know, the difference, though, is
longevity.
Not necessarily the difference, because you can't take away anything from the way that baseball had run itself. But back in the days of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and all those guys, if you were number one, you finished number one in your league, you played for the World Series. There were no playoffs. So, you know, if you're number one, you play whoever finished number two, and you play a 7-game series, and whoever wins that series is World Series champions. They didn't have the ALDS, they didn't have the ALCS. You know, so 7 games, you know, So you play 162 and then you play 7. So what's that? 169 games? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now you have to play 5 games and then 7 games and then another 7 games to be World Series champion.
And anything can happen. You can get upset. You can. Yep. I mean, there's no. A lot of things have changed since then. I mean, players surely don't come to work drunk out of their minds like, you know, Mickey Mantle.
Ty Cobb,
God knows. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing looking forward to a baseball season because you just get to see just the pure athleticism of a lot of these players. Because, I mean, baseball gets mocked a lot for not being athletic enough.
Well,
people say, they don't really have to move. If you play in the outfield, you just stand there game. You maybe have to move for a ball. But some of these catches that we've been seeing are just
and not only
amazing.
That, not only that, but, you know, there may not be a lot of contact in the sport as far as, you know, outside of like home plate collisions or running into a wall. There's not really a whole lot of contact as far as on your body. But, you know, you have to run. You have to stop and start. Like, that's got to be tough on the hamstrings, calves, feet, all that stuff, knees. And you have to do that over the course of an entire season. Now, you get off days. You get travel days. But, you know, football, you play one week, once a week. You know, you play for 3 hours on a Sunday. Then you play. You get a week. You practice. Or if you're hurt, you don't practice. Then you play on another Sunday or Monday or maybe a Thursday. Fine. But baseball, you're playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe off Thursday. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, so you're getting off maybe once, maybe if you're lucky, twice a week.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're playing.
And you don't see the big-time contact injuries either. You see, you know, the hamstring pulls and things like that happen when you're running full speed out of nowhere. Because you go from standing still to running full speed.
Right. And I mean, you know, that's...
It's not easy.
And you know, I tend to be kind of harsh on some of these guys. Like, oh, my arm is tired. Oh, you know, my elbow hurts. Or, you know, I hurt my finger. I have a fucking... Pitchers can't pitch because they have a blister on their finger. Like, you know, that's... It's probably a bit unfair for me.
Rub some dirt on it.
It's probably a bit unfair for me to be so hard on them. But at the same time, like, dude, you're getting paid a lot of money. There's no salary cap in baseball, and that's all guaranteed money. So if you sign a 5-year, $100 million contract, you will make $100 million.
Yeah.
It's, you know, football, you get paid a base salary, and then there's a signing bonus, and only some of that counts. And if you get cut, you don't get all that money. But in baseball, Bobby Bonilla, for example, was being paid by the New York Mets. I think up until like last year, he converted to get paid $1 million for like the next 20 years of his life.
Which is actually really smart.
Yeah, it was very smart. I mean, because what the fuck is he doing now? Probably coaching some little league baseball team.
Having fun, relaxing, living in retirement.
But, you know, that's the thing. In football, that shit would never happen.
Yeah.
You know, you might get some sort of dead money payment, you know, for 2 more years or whatever, but it's not the full contract. So, I mean, again, we're kind of getting off topic. That's my fault, but... I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to go down to get out of this weather and go down to just watch these guys cut loose, have a little bit of fun, and then, you know, 2 weeks from now is the season. Well, actually, I guess it's a little longer than that, but still.
Around three, yeah. Can't wait, man. Can't wait. Now, we are in heated playoff chases right now in the NBA and the NHL, but we're going to go over to the NBA first.
Okay.
Who do you see emerging as the 8 in the West and the 8 in the East?
Excellent question. I don't know.
Now, you see the Wizards being in the playoffs, though. They are definitely going to be in.
I think they only need... I mean, they only got 20 games left, and I think that if the Cards play right, I think they can probably clinch a berth in the next 10 games. So they just got to play their game. You know, I mean, they're not going to be number one in the East because that's going to be Miami. They're not going to be number two because that's going to be Indiana, or that could flip-flop Indiana 1, Miami 2.
Yeah.
But they have a very real shot if they continue to play the game that they're playing to be the 3 seed. Sure.
I like the Wizards as being kind of that X factor. But you know who else I like a lot that a lot of people are not talking about?
The Bulls.
The Toronto Raptors,
Raptors are good, yeah.
Kyle Lowry is such a beast. DeMar DeRozan, he's been playing great. That team is just solid. And if they get some help... at the end of the year with some other players, and who knows? I mean, they're probably going to lose everybody every other fucking team.
Well, the trade deadline has come and gone in the NBA.
It's come and gone.
So
yeah, they've already done
I don't think they made a move, the Raptors.
I don't think really anybody. Did you hear about any big-time free
agency trades? Big trades? No. No. Yeah. No. Typically speaking, you don't see a whole lot of big
deals. You wait until contracts are up in the NBA. Right. Like, the season, when the season's over, that's when the big moves are made. Like, LeBron's going to go this way. Carmelo LeBron Anthony's going to go here.
With his black face shield.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it scares the shit out of me. What do you think about the West now? The West is fucking just so competitive.
You know, I think, typically speaking, I would say the West is a better league than the East.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know, conference
Rockets, league. You got the yep. Spurs, you got the yep. Clippers, you got the Golden State Warriors.
Thunder.
The Thunder. Nuggets. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
The top eight is everybody's right. got an opportunity to, yeah. to win.
I think the eighth seed in the West would be like the fourth or fifth seed in the East or some amazing. Shit. Yeah. I
think
know.
Even the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the playoff. Yeah. I'm not positive on that, but I think they might be.
That's a guy who probably could stand to go somewhere. Kevin Love, Kevin go somewhere Love. Else. God, come I to love DC. That guy. Come to DC, Kevin Love. Play with John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Do you think he'd come to DC?
Why wouldn't he? Why were you going to stay in Minnesota and play with Ricky Rubio?
Well, I'm not saying I'm not saying he wouldn't want to come to, but look at his other options he's got going on.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure if and when
you know the Lakers are going to grab. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you
Lakers
know what?
Lakers are terrible. This is one of their worst seasons ever.
But you know what? Though I wouldn't go to a team that's rebuilding. I would go to a team that's up and coming. Like,
that's true.
Like
no,
the
you're
Wizards.
Right. You're right.
You know, or
you
maybe
have a little bit of bias there. But yeah, you're right.
Of course. Or maybe you know once if and when Derrick Rose becomes healthy again, you know, because he's 2 years now he's been, you know, unhealthy. I would go play in Chicago.
Yeah.
Why not?
Wow.
I mean,
Derrick Rose, my God. I mean, you got to feel so fucking
I don't,
sorry for this
no,
guy.
No, I don't.
You don't,
I don't
feel sorry for this
no.
guy?
No.
He tears his ACL. He's out the yep. entire season. Then he comes back. He's kind of rusty, but yep. you can see sparks of his former self. And then he tears his other ACL?
Well,
that's tragic.
I, a teacher, when I was a younger man, told me, you never feel sorry for a millionaire.
That's
you know,
point.
I mean... And maybe that's showing my bias because if that was a guy on my team, I'd feel sorry for him. But you know what?
It's not showing your bias. It's showing your blatant hypocrisy, right. Lando.
What I'm saying is, you know, injuries happen. They happen to everybody. They happen to everybody. Every team gets bitten by the injury bug. Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it's not. But, you know, that's not a reason to not play well for the other guys on the team.
No, that's true.
You know, and that's where... And this is also in any sport. You know, if your star player goes down in any sport, you better have somebody that can back up and come in and at least be better than serviceable, you know? Because if they come in and they're shitty, you know, then the rest of the guys are like, what the fuck are we playing for? And then you've lost an entire season. Well, nothing is guaranteed. You may have a nice young team today, but some next season your team may not be young or, you know, you may have some disconnect between one player and another. I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the NBA... It seems like the big stars now are trying to go to teams where they can partner with other big stars so that maybe the workload is and the pressure is not necessarily on one guy. Like when LeBron was in Cleveland, it was LeBron James and the rest of the Cavaliers. Well, now he's in Miami and it was the big three. You know, it was the big three in Boston with Rondo, Garnett, and Pierce. I'm sorry, not Rondo, but Ray Allen, Garnett, and Kevin and Pierce.
You know? Truth, Paul Pierce.
Right. Hey, you know, now those old asses have been were traded to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. I mean,
he
you
is no
sell
longer
tickets.
The truth. He is the lie.
Yeah,
that he's,
no
he's serviceable as
although,
a
although they'll probably
guard,
make they'll probably make the playoffs in the East.
The Nets, you think?
Yeah,
they might eighth seed, seventh seed.
Yeah.
Who do you see in the finals?
Your
crystal ball, you're rubbing it. Who's coming up there?
Who do I want to see in the finals, or who do I actually think is going to?
You know
make
what?
It?
We'll do. Who do you want to see, and who do you think?
I think a good series would be the Thunder and the Pacers. I think that would be fun to watch both ways, but I think, or even like the Clippers and the Pacers.
I'd like to.
But
see
the NBA
Clippers.
Probably doesn't want the
Lob City.
They don't want Indiana in there because they're a small market.
True, but I don't want to see the Spurs. And here's why.
No, I don't want to see them either.
You've been saying it since day one, since we were kids, and that's how long Tim Duncan's been in the NBA.
Right.
The Spurs are fundamentally boring.
Yep. No.
They're fundamentally sound.
Yes.
But they're also fundamentally boring.
Like if you want to teach,
fundamentals are pretty boring.
Right. If you want to teach a team of small children how to play basketball, you put on Spurs tapes.
Put it on.
Like Tim Duncan, you're tall. Make a layup, and you see him bounce the ball off the damn the little square on the back of the glass.
He loves the glass.
You know. I mean, it's whatever. That's that. You know. That's why he's a champion several times over, and that's why he's you know been able to play as long as he has because you know he's played that way. And, you know, they just have a fundamentally sound team. But I completely agree with you. Their team is so fucking boring to watch. I wouldn't watch them. Like, I didn't watch the series. I would watch the highlights on SportsCenter.
I did too. I got to admit to you.
Like those fucking fickle-ass Miami Heat fans that were leaving. And then Ray Allen hit that shot and they come running back in.
I couldn't believe it. And you know what? A lot of people out there hate on LeBron James. I don't. I love him. He's one of those guys that not only is amazing on the court,
right,
but he's amazing off the court. Look at what he does for his community.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing. But so who do you want to see? You said you wanted to see Indiana or the Clippers or, you know, even Indiana. And did you see Oklahoma City?
I would personally Oklahoma City. I pull for them mainly because of Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, I do like
Kevin. You know what Durant. I mean? He's a local guy. That's fine.
So who do you think is going to be in there?
Out of the East, it's probably, I can tell you, it's either going to be Indiana or Miami. That's almost a guarantee. They're so much better than the rest of the conference that they may play each other in the Eastern Conference final, but that's going to be it. It's going to be either Indiana or Miami. I would love for the Wizards to beat them, but I don't think in a series, they may push them to 7 games or 6 games, but I think that their team is so much better than, you know, their teams are so much better than anybody else in the East. Now, in the West, I mean, shit, it really and truly could be anybody. It could be. I mean, Russell Westbrook is coming back from injury, and thankfully he has, you know, 18 or 20 games to kind of get back into playing shape, because there's a difference between being in shape and being in playing shape, and I think that'll only help Kevin Durant not feel like he has to score. But any team, whether it's the A seed, the 1 seed, 3, 4, any team can literally run the conference and win in the West. But I would say the team with the best shot is probably Oklahoma City. Probably.
That's true.
But, you know, a team like the Clippers, you know, and it depends. You know, like Golden State Warriors, they could get hot from beyond the three-point line and kill teams. They could kill them. But if they go cold, like, that's their game. Their game is making shots. Steph Curry from beyond the arc, like I said, him and Klay Thompson, if they make shots, they can beat anybody. But the same is true. If they go cold, then they'll lose. You know, so it depends on the teams that get hot in the West and play well. You know, I think, like I said, I would imagine of the teams in the West, Oklahoma City is the best of the best out there. But I wouldn't be surprised. Whoever goes from the West, it's not really going to be a huge surprise to me, unless they sweep a team. You know, I don't know how many teams are going to get swept out there. Like, I can see the Heat and the Pacers sweeping whoever they play in the first rounds and moving on to the next round fairly easily. I'd imagine in the West, no matter who plays who, there will be longer series leading up to the championship.
I agree with you too. So the NHL, what do you think about that? I mean, we've got crazy trades going on.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best trade that happened? And then what do you say is the worst trade that happened?
The best trade that took place was probably Marty St. Louis for Ryan Callahan, and I'll tell you why. Because I still think that Tampa Bay, although they won't win anything this year, they have a team that's built to last. And St. Louis, first of all, was old, and he wasn't happy. And if you get somebody who's not happy on your team, get him out.
There are rumors. I mean, I don't think they've been substantiated yet, have they? That St. Louis basically said... Yes. That he hated the GM, Yzerman, because he left him off of the Olympic hockey team for Canada. And he said, hey, if you don't want me on the Olympic team, then why am I even here? Even though he was on the Olympic team.
Well, he was on the team, because of injury. But still, again, if you're not happy, you know, like I say this all the time. If a guy's not happy in whatever team he's on, get rid of him.
Get rid of him. Yeah.
You know? If LeBron James was unhappy in Miami, if I'm Pat Riley, say, okay, we're, you know, find a trade partner.
But LeBron James is a little different. You're talking about a two-time defending MVP of the league and two-time defending NBA champ.
My point is team first. If one guy's unhappy, fuck him. Doesn't matter who it is.
Team first, but here's the thing. You have a allegiance to the fans here. You have to put their asses in the seats, and you also have to, in turn, make them happy. You get rid of a guy like St. Louis. I mean, like you said, he didn't leave him a whole lot of choice. He demanded a trade. But I get what you're saying, though. But at the same time, sometimes you can't let go of certain players.
Right. And
that's like saying, hey, what if Alex Ovechkin was really unhappy? Wouldn't you do everything that you could do to make him happy?
Well, I think first of all, he's done a good job of not coming out and saying he's
unhappy.
True,
he's had no real...
But the issue is, you know, if somebody's unhappy, you have to find a way to make them happy. But if you can't, I mean, if their demands are unruly or unreasonable...
That's true, yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do, bend over a fucking chair and let him fuck you in the ass? No.
That wouldn't be horrible to watch that live on television.
But what I'm saying is...
Yeah.
The reason why it was a good trade was, first of all, you got somebody who's not happy, but he's probably on the downside of his career. Ryan Callahan is still young.
He is young. He was the captain of
the Rangers. He's still young, right. It was captain for captain, which is fine.
That's fine.
But, you know, you've gotten rid of somebody who's on the downside of their career for somebody who's still on the upside of theirs and can step in and make plays right away.
Now, Ryan Callahan, if I'm not mistaken, is a center.
So is St. Louis.
St. Louis, I thought, was a right winger.
Let me look that up.
Because I think Stamkos is
That's what's killed their season was his injury.
Him going down really hurt them.
That's what killed them.
Yeah. But what do you think is the worst trade that the NHL or that these teams made?
You know, I don't know. I mean, like, that's a difficult question.
Why the fuck did Vancouver get rid of Luongo?
Well,
they just got rid of Corey Snyder last year.
Salary, man. Salary.
I get that, but do you really want to put your fans' future with Eddie Lack? I'm not saying he's bad.
But
for example,
you know, the Capitals traded for Yaroslav Halak. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah,
so maybe Vancouver's like, you know what, fuck it. We're not going to do shit this year because, you know, whatever. I don't know what they got for Luongo. If they got draft picks, that's probably what they need because the Sedins aren't getting any younger.
You know why, though? John Tortorella going to that team destroyed them.
Yeah,
he's all about defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Heinrich Sedin and Daniel Sedin have had the worst seasons that they've had in a while. Just for simple,
1-0,
1-1, 2-1.
Right.
There's no scoring.
Right.
They've got good.
I would take. I would personally. It's probably. I don't know if you can look at teams that have won the Stanley Cup in the last 10 years and say which teams are offensively minded or which teams are defensively minded, because when you get to the Stanley Cup, it doesn't really matter. You know,
you can win 5-4 and 6-4 and 7-5 every game as long as you win. It doesn't matter.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I would say teams, though, stayed away. You know, there weren't, outside of the St. Louis and Ryan Callahan trade, there weren't any huge trade pieces. Like, Halak coming to D.C. was kind of big only because they got rid of Neuvert. Me, personally, I would have gotten rid of Braden Holtby. That's just me. I think
really?
I think so, yeah.
After the great year that he had last year?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't say great playoff.
That was the year before. Yeah. That was the year before. But what I'm saying is they probably could have gotten more for him than Neuvert. Because you're getting Neuvert, but at the same time, Neuvert wasn't happy. He demanded a trade. So you know what? Here you go. Have a safe trip.
He wanted to go.
I'll help you carry your bags to the airport. Fine.
Yeah.
But you know, like... shit. I just had it. Guy Andrew McDonald got traded to the Flyers for nothing. For nothing.
Yeah.
You know? If you can give up mid-round draft picks and you have the cap room to get a piece that you need, like the Flyers, can't stand them. Can't stand Philadelphia as a city in general. But if you can get somebody who helps you out, especially on defense because that's where they were hurting, and give up a third, second-round pick, why not? I would do that 10 times out of 10.
Got no issue with
but,
that.
But, you know, the teams... The issue with hockey is their salary cap is way different than anywhere else. Like, it goes up like $500,000 or $600,000 a year. That's it.
That's not much.
Right. It's not, you know, the NFL was projected to be $130 and is now at $133 million.
Whew.
You know? So that's a difference. I think it was $127 million last year.
So it's $3 million every year.
Well, but it went out. It was $6 million because it was supposed to be $130 million and it actually came in at $133 million. So that's a difference of $6 million. So if your team is at $127 million, you just gained $6 million. You know, and that's before you have to cut people and whatever. You know, that's still getting off topic. But you know, that's why you keep seeing guys that are decent but not great at, you know, signing 1 year deals with teams. You see that all the time. Like, one, you know, they call it 1 year rentals. Okay, you know, we're gonna sign this guy. He's gonna score 15-20 goals, maybe play, you know, on the penalty kill, or maybe be a defender who's not going to score maybe more than one or two goals a year, but, you know, will have top five hits, or, you know, will be your enforcer who's going to fight people and keep them off your star players. Okay. That's what you see.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up. Can the Penguins go all the way this year?
Yes.
A lot of teams have the formula to beat them, though. Be real physical with them in the playoffs.
Well, but you know what, though? Teams like that, like the Flyers, they've always been physical.
Yeah.
Every year they're physical. That doesn't mean they're good. You know, there are ways around that. Yeah. I mean, you know, you just have to find ways to score. I mean, that's obviously way easier said than done.
True.
But, you know, you have to find ways to score. And if you're able to do that, you know, then getting physical with you is only going to tire the guys out. Because if they're trying to go after you and hit you, you know, if you score more points, you know, score a goal in the first period, and, you know, they're worried about hitting you, then they're not worried about scoring. And if you can maintain that, that's fine. Now, a team like Boston, that's the team that is the biggest threat to the Penguins in the East, I would say. Because they hit, they score, they have an excellent goaltender in Tuukka Rask. I would think that the Penguins, that's where their weakest is in net. I mean, Fleury's good, but he's not as good as he was.
I agree.
You know what I mean? I don't know who their backup goalie is. He's playing tonight against the Caps, but, you know, if you have two goaltenders, that's good. Like, that's why, like I said, the Caps getting rid of Neuvert. I would have gotten rid of Holtby, but like I said, he didn't want to be here, so have a safe trip. Holtby can play. He can come in and play in a playoff game because, you know, sometimes if you go to seven games, you're going to have to play six in one city and then go to the next city for the next game, you know, the night after.
Yeah.
And that can be tough on a goaltender.
Absolutely.
So,
who do you got in this Stanley Cup right now?
I would say Chicago. Chicago is probably one of the best teams. You know, Anaheim is having an excellent year, but I've seen it before. You know, Bruce Boudreau here had the Capitals just killing teams.
Every year. Great
killing
year.
Teams in the regular season. And if you can't adjust your style of play, you know, if teams are going to get physical with you and you're more of a finesse team, which is, I mean, that's their style. I don't have a problem with that. But if you can't adjust your style, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And that's what happened here. I mean, they
so
won
what
the
happened in the Super Bowl too.
They
Same
won.
Thing.
They won the president. The Caps won the president's trophy. And you know, they were the number one team in the league and, you know, scored a whole bunch of points and got bounced because teams were like, beat us. Come into our zone and play physical hockey, and they couldn't do it. So I think Anaheim is kind of in that boat, you know, where
I agree with that.
Where they may, you know, it may not happen for them.
What about the Blues? I mean, what if Ryan Miller goes on a tear and just is shutting people out?
He can.
Yeah.
But will he? I don't know. I think a team
he's
like Chicago.
He's got a defense in front of him now, though.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, he's in the same position. He was in the same position in Buffalo that Dominik Hasek was.
Yeah.
Unbelievable goalie. Unbelievable, but nobody was scoring for him. Nobody.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
that's got to be infuriating.
It is. It is. It has to be. You know, I mean, you do everything. You do your job and more, and people are coming up short. So
you got the Blackhawks in the West.
I would say the Blackhawks.
Can challenge the Pittsburgh Penguins in the East? That's the real question.
I would say Boston.
You think the Bruins? I would say again, Boston. Same as last year.
I would
year's
say Boston.
Series,
and you know what? If the style of play continues for a team like the Rangers, I mean, I would say on paper, in a series, I would take Pittsburgh over the Rangers. But it wouldn't shock me if the Rangers beat them. It really wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, I don't know about any other teams in the East, though. I really don't. I would say Boston, Pittsburgh, and the Rangers.
Maybe the Canadians, you think?
No.
The Leafs are also looking kind of good.
No.
You don't think they're going to have...
I don't.
They don't have what you need to
I don't.
Make a
you
run.
May be able to steal a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe two in a series. But, you know, you're playing the same team, and, you know, maybe the first game you try and find out a weakness and try to exploit that in future games. I don't know if the Penguins really have many weaknesses. I would say their biggest question mark would be in goal. Because, you know, Crosby, and I fucking hate admitting this, Crosby, Malkin, Kunitz, James Neal, they're going to score goals. I mean, that's what they do.
They do that.
That's excellent point. But
boom.
You know, if you can get them on their heels and be physical and still score, like I said, the only teams that really and truly can do that, I would say, would be the Bruins with Zdeno Chara and Jerome Iginla and you know, Seidenberg and Brad Marchand, who another guy I can't fucking stand, but he's just one of those intense guys who comes to play every day, you know. And I think if you take away star players like Crosby, Malkin, and you're able to have a goalie who can stand on his head like Tuukka Rask, I think that in a 7-game series, Boston can take it from Pittsburgh. That's what I would say. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Penguins went to the Stanley Cup. I really wouldn't. And that would be a good series to watch. The Penguins and the Blackhawks in 7 games. Absolutely,
that'd be sick, man.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, it looks like it might happen. So who knows? But it is that time of the night, ladies and gentlemen, on the Sports Solution Podcast for live call in. So if you're listening and you want to call in, the number is 202-417-6064. Again, that's 202-417-6064. We're going to open up the call line.
Yeah, call in. We love hearing from you guys.
But yeah, that's going to be interesting, trying to figure out who's going to be able to do well, you know, in the playoffs, because it's usually the team that's hot.
I mean, you see it every year. Every year, you know, once you get in, it doesn't matter. Your season, you could be marginal. Like, for example, again, I don't watch enough of the whole NHL to be able to comment on other teams, so I'm going to keep it local with the Caps. The Caps have had ups and downs, more downs than ups this season, but if they get in, there's no reason why they can't beat whoever they play. There's no reason, because Halak is a great goaltender, or he was at least a great goaltender.
When he's on lockdown, he is phenomenal. Yeah, he really
so,
is.
So I would imagine that you go to a 7-game series, and whatever you've done in the playoffs, whether you were the number 1 seed, number 8 seed, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. So any team, whether you're good, bad, you know, decent at best in the playoffs, it shouldn't matter.
I agree, man. I really do. Yeah. It's about. Oh, we got a live caller. Here we
Somebody's
go.
Somebody's calling in. Well, having some technical difficulties.
Boom. Hi, you are live on the Sports Solution Podcast. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Vinny? It's Cricket Leg.
Oh, Cricket Leg, how's it going, man?
Well, you know, I feel like a shit sandwich that's been shoved down a garbage chute, but aside from that, I'm all right.
Dude, that's good. It's great to hear from you, man. I wish you were in a little bit better spirits, yeah. But what's happening for you, man? What do you want to discuss?
Well, first off, I have to give Lando props for the spot on the Dead Bedouins podcast.
That was thanks,
probably
man.
The funniest 5 minutes I've ever heard in my life.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That's freaking great, man.
That's
seriously.
What she said.
And the longest, but what's on your mind, buddy?
But I mean, as far as sports are concerned, I really want to get into some baseball talk, and I know Lando's down, but I've recently started like really just closely pouring over the Nats, and I wanted to talk a little bit about Lirachi, and how long do you think he has this season before he has to prove himself or get dealt?
I would say right off the bat, for lack of with the pun intended, but I would say right off the bat, because they have young guys at various positions in the infield. Like, for example, if LaRoche doesn't start playing well right off the bat, they can move Ryan Zimmerman from third to first. They're doing that now. So I think the writing is on the wall for him. And in doing that, they can move Rendon from second to third because he's a natural third baseman. And then a guy maybe like Danny Espinosa, if he can hit the ball in the spring, he can play second. If not, I don't really like him personally. But you know,
that's a big if there.
And that's the thing, is that to me, LaRoche is a solid defensive player.
Yes.
And he's just great at first. But he's not hitting consistently, and 2 seasons ago, I think we may have seen the apex of his career. So if you're talking about switching him out, I don't know that Espinosa's the answer, you know?
That's you're right. But what I'm saying is, you know, they have a guy, this kid, his name is Zach Walters. He's a second baseman. You know, he was their minor league player of the year 2 years ago. So I think that, you know, he's getting a shot in their big league camp now, and can challenge and push these guys for a starting job. So there's only so many positions to play, and a guy like LaRoche, who is, even if he has a good year, he's still on the downside of his career. I would imagine that, you know, Zimmerman moving from third to first will save his shoulder, because, you know, he's got issues playing third and throwing errors on his you know, by himself. So,
oh yeah.
Did they lose Tyler Moore?
No, Tyler Moore's
still
there.
So why not him slide into first?
Well, because like I said, it's still, Tyler Moore is probably not the guy, unless you have major injuries, he's not a guy that's going to start for your team. Okay. He's going to come off the bench, play, you know, sparingly and start, you know, give guys days off. But I don't think, unless you have a slew of injuries, I can't imagine Tyler Moore being a guy that starts for this team here.
So if you give him full-time reps, you don't think he'd be a quality?
Well, I mean, anybody's probably better. Wouldn't you agree, Cricket Leg? Anybody who plays every day is going to be able to get into more of a rhythm. Would you agree with that? What's going on over there? You all right?
Sorry, man. I got
Jerry Glitter
over
here.
What?
Dear God.
She's crying. She doesn't want to hear the bad news about Adam.
Yeah. Larachi. That's good.
Let her know that hope is on the way, bro. Hope is on the way.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I didn't even hear your question, Lando.
Well, you're going to have to go back in. The question is, like I said, LaRoche probably should have gone at the end of last year. They probably could have gotten away from him, cut him, trade him, whatever. But, you know, he had some issues, some injuries that he was trying to play through. And I understand and respect the guy who's willing to do that. But it's on the manager at that point to say, yo, you're hurt. You're not playing well. We got to get somebody in there who's going to help the team, because, you know, while he was solid defensively, his offensive numbers were just atrocious. So
yeah, and I think we're seeing decent enough numbers in spring training, and I think that I'm actually glad that they kept him, because his trade value is going to go up for the first quarter of the season, maybe. I mean, if he can hit consistently, if he can be a solid on-base batter, then he's going to be worth so much more than he would on the second half of the season last year.
Well, I agree with you, but do you think that if he is hitting the ball, I mean, the Nationals are World Series contenders right now, and do you think that if he's hitting the ball, I wouldn't get rid of him. The only way you get rid of him is if he's not playing well. I mean, if he's helping the team, because let's get serious, he's going to help them defensively from day one, you know. He's going to save errors, throwing errors from all the other infielding positions, because that's just the way he plays. But if he's hitting the ball well, hopefully that means that the rest of the team is hitting the ball well, at which point I wouldn't get rid of him. But I think he's got a very short leash. That's my point. If he's not playing well, you know, maybe into May, you know, because if you look at his career numbers, he's kind of a slow starter, you know. He tends to come out of spring training and be a slow starter. That's fine. I mean, you know, he's not going to tear the cover off the ball, because that's baseball.
But look at who's hitting around him. You got Ian Desmond, right. You got Ryan Zimmerman, you got Harper, who looks like the Hulk. I'm pretty sure he's on steroids.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope he's not going by way of Nelson Cruz.
You've got players that can hit around him. So you even think about a guy like Robbie Cano, who's out in Seattle now. He's really got nobody around him hitting.
Yeah,
he's got Nick Franklin. He's got Michael Saunders. He's got a couple guys who can hit all right. But you know, I think Adam LaRoche will be okay. I do agree with Cricket Leg though. If he starts slacking, you gotta see what you can get for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was Lando's point, and to be perfectly honest, I think we're kind of in a lose-lose situation, because his career is winding down. So I don't know. It's hard to get a feel, especially with like Lando said, it's up to the manager. It's hard to get a feel with the new manager exactly what's going to happen with LaRoche. So I don't know. That position's really, it feels like it's up in the air for me, first base. So.
Yeah,
but I'm glad you mentioned Robinson Cano, because you know it's a good thing he's a Mariner, because they pretty much freaking stranded him out on a desert island, and he's got to find his way back. You know,
they really did.
You know,
yeah,
but he wanted the money.
He's surrounded by nobody hitting, and you know that actually kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about. And that's the shape of the AL West in general looks to be probably the grittiest and best playoff race. I mean, it's super early, but it looks like there are teams that are going to scrap. You know, Oakland really looks like it has a roster that's capable of doing what it did last season. Well, what do you think about the AL West in general, and who do you think is going to come out on top, or where do you think the one and two battle is?
You want to go first?
I got to be honest, man. I mean, you hit it right on the head. The AL West is unfucking believable. You got the Oakland Athletics, you got the Texas Rangers, you got the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, you load them up. I honestly think that this is the Angels' year. I honestly do, because look at how much they're paying guys like Albert Pujols, and he might be healthy this year. If he can return to even half of what he was in his prime, it's St. Louis. He's a monster. Then you got Mike Trout. You got a ton of hitters in that lineup. You got Josh Hamilton there. Even if he returns to half of what he used to be, you know what I mean? I feel like the Rangers are great too. The A's, I think, are going to take a little bit of a hit. You got Yonis Cespedes. He's a good hitter, but I just don't think that he can carry the team the entire season. If someone like him gets injured, you're really hurting the A's. You got Coco Crisp. He's pretty good, but he hits more for average, right? He's not a phenomenal hitter.
You can't have all power hitters, but yes, you're right.
I mean, I just think that this is the Angels' year. I honestly do. I feel like they've spent so much money. The owners really tried to get them to be an awesome team, and I think if everyone can stay healthy, which is a huge if, I really do think that the Angels are going to do it this year.
All right. I have to take a completely different stance. The Angels, to me, are a team that, outside of Mike Trout, they're not a young team. They traded for David Freese, who's – now, mind you, he's still good, but he's old. Albert Pujols –
World Series MVP.
Yeah, right. When? A couple years ago, right?
3 years ago.
Exactly. 3 years ago. And, you know, he was older then when he did it.
True.
So, you know, Mike Trout is a phenomenal player, and I think he's probably one of the top five players in the league right now. But their team is older. Albert Pujols is old. David Freese is old. Josh Hamilton is still kind of young, but he's getting old. Their pitching staff has a bunch of holes in it. Their bullpen is not that great. You know, I don't foresee them lasting an entire season. Now, I've been wrong before. It has happened. But I think a team like Oakland, although they don't have a whole lot of star power, their team is built to win. They have a team. Their bullpen is good. They have a starting rotation that, again, not a whole lot of names, but guys that can play and eat up 200 innings. The Mariners are a team, like I said, you know, they're trying to sell seats and trying to get Robinson, you know, getting Robinson Cano was great for that, but I don't know, you know, outside of him and Felix Hernandez, I just don't know that their team, I mean, they signed Raul Ibanez. Raul Ibanez is 40 years old. Like, what are we doing? You know, he'll probably hit because he's going to be their
DH. He always hits bombs.
But what I'm saying is, you don't sign, you know, there's a guy at 25 who could probably give you as much or more than Raul Ibanez gives you now. Now, the team with Yu Darvish and the recently traded for Prince Fielder, the Texas Rangers, that team is going to make or break this race in the AL West. I don't know if they're a better team now than they were last year, but they were pretty good last year. And, you know, they lost Joe Nathan. He's now with Detroit. So it'll be interesting to see if Darvish can maintain his status, because you remember a couple years ago when Daisuke Matsuzaka came over, he had a great year for the Red Sox, you know, went and they won the World Series and all that. And then he got injured and he fell off. I think he's with Cleveland now in their minor league system.
Yeah.
So, you know, Darvish needs to be better than that for Texas, because he's kind of that big piece. You know, if he falls off or falters in any way, their team is done. So I would imagine. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, how many years out do you think the Stros are? I mean, they've been getting some really solid prospects, and they're keeping them and developing them.
Yeah, I like their manager. He used to be the third base coach for the Nationals, and he's a fiery guy. And you're right. The Astros are a team that. Will forever have very little expectation on them, and at some point they're just going to pop, like the Nationals did. I mean, shit, they lost 100 games 2 years in a row, and then, you know, they went, they completely turned it around, And, you know, they did that because they signed a couple of key free agents for, you know, I mean, Jason Worth was a giant contract. But, you know, other than him, they really didn't spend a whole lot of money in free agency. And then, you know, they had a good year, and players now want to come here. And I think,
yeah, exactly,
in a place like Houston, something like that could happen. But as far as when, I don't know. I mean, they play in the in the Central, and you know, as you know, the Central has some powerhouse. Oh wait, yeah, they're in the Central, correct? Not in the West, or are they in the AL West? Because they moved. Well,
I'm pretty sure they're in the West.
From the NL Central
you
to the
think
AL West.
They're in the Central, right? Because they're typically at the bottom of the West, and they kind of blend in right. Central.
Right, and you know that. Unfortunately, that's a team that, you know, being in the AL West, as we all agree, is going to be competitive. And any one of the teams, maybe not Houston, but any one of the teams could win the division and not really be a surprise. But you know,
it's going to be the Angels.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. No, I would say no. I apologize. I would have to disagree with you wholeheartedly.
That's fine. That's your God-given right.
I think what's interesting though is that we're talking about the A's, you know, their moves. We're talking about the Rangers and how they're falling. You know, this is a make or break year for them specifically. And then we talk about the Angels and how they're boom or bust. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that to me says a couple seasons, and if the Astros pop at the exact right time, they will dominate that division.
Correct. I mean, you know, like I said, the Angels, Mike Trout is going to be there for years. I mean, I'd imagine he's one of these guys that gets record contracts and stays in Anaheim for the career, at least until, you know, he's on the downside of it. But outside of him, that is an old team. I'm sorry. That team is old. So they're only...
This is their last chance, though.
I would say, you know, maybe this year, maybe next year. But after that, they have to either blow it up and get rid of some guys and sign some younger talent, or, you know, let these guys kind of fade out and rebuild via free agency in their minor league system. You know, teams like Houston and Oakland, they're doing that now. You know, these guys that are playing now are guys that have come up through the system and have put their time in the minor leagues and are still kind of coming into their own now as ball players. So, you know, I don't imagine Houston to be good now, but, you know, good is getting to the playoffs. You know, they're going to be competitive, but still, I would say Oakland is probably the team that comes out of the AL West, in my opinion. Maybe Texas.
I'm excited. I mean, they're going to be all just duking it out, and it's going to be claw and nail, and whoever comes up on top is going to be blood-soaked. It's going to be awesome.
I would agree. I would agree.
Are you excited as a Rangers fan about everything that went down in the trade?
Now you can't just tip my hand like that, son.
I gotta do it to you, bro.
See, now Lando knows I'm a Rangers fan, so he's gonna come up with some defensive answer to this. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about the trade deadline and in the NHL, and we saw a lot of goalies move around, and
a lot of goalies.
I mean, for me, that's my favorite position to watch, and seeing teams just get rid of their ones and twos, like, it fucking blew my mind. I'm not gonna lie.
What was the most surprising one?
And so, like, that's a good question, man. I mean, I know Ryan Miller was a big deal to trade, but I really didn't think the Blues were going to go that hard and get rid of Halak and
that fucking blew me away. Yeah,
I was pretty shocked by that too.
I mean, he was winning
but
23 games.
No. I mean, if we're talking about the most surprising though, like, who the hell would have thought that the Canucks were going to lose their solid one and their solid two, and that they were going to freaking promote Eddie Lack to the number one goalie position? Like, you couldn't have predicted that 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
Let alone at the beginning of the season.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's
Vinny
exactly
said the exact
what I said
same thing earlier.
Show, man, that's I'm glad.
My thing is, Luongo's not getting any younger, and he's probably done to get rid of some salary cap. I don't know what the Canucks situation is, but I'd imagine by promoting Leck and trading both Schneider and Roberto Luongo, you save yourself several million dollars to maybe go out and make a move or two in the off season.
Well, Luongo wanted to get moved, and he announced that last year that he wanted to get moved to Florida.
Yeah, well, have fun and playing down there.
we kind of saw that one coming, if it was possible, I guess. And right. I don't know. I just getting rid of Corey Schneider and leaving it to two real just noobs in the net was that's a heck of a move.
Well, you know, Vinny also brought up the point that, you know, John Tortorella being as defensive as he is, defensive minded, you know, I don't know if lack is the answer there or not, but you know, he's won the cup with Tampa Bay, and you know, your team, the Rangers, is pretty much built because of him, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're always competitive every year, the Rangers. So, you know, I mean, you know, only one team wins a Stanley Cup, and you know, the teams that can both score and play defense, like the Blackhawks, like the Bruins, those are the teams that win. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like I'm a huge Caps fan. They can score like nobody's business, but they couldn't keep the puck out of the net if they had all their guys on the ice. So, you know, they could put the entire team out there and both goalies and still give up goals. So
how do you feel about the moves that the Caps made then? I mean, they got rid of a defensive deficit
right
in Neuwirth and picked up Halak, and then they got rid of
Marty
Ehrat. For Christ's sake. The defender, Erskine. No.
Marty Ehrat.
Who was the defenseman they got rid of?
No, they traded away Martin Ehrat.
Ehrat, yeah, there he is.
Yeah, he's a
fool. Because he was a rat. He was ratting out people.
Whatever. That's Vinny's own world there. But
he was the rat.
Neuwirth and Ehrat, they both demanded trades. So you know what? Getting Halak was good. Now they got to re-sign him because he's a free agent at the end of the year. But where the Caps messed up is not getting defensive help. That's where they were weakest. I think Holtby or Neuwirth, if they'd have gone with them and given them a couple of solid defenders, they probably would be in better position. I like Halak. I mean, he broke the Caps fans' hearts a couple years back when he was with Montreal.
We all remember that.
I mean, my God, they shot, I think, 51 shots in a game, and he stopped all but one or two of them. I mean,
I was watching the game with Lando, and at one point, it was a 5-on-3 for the Capitals.
Don't remind me.
And they could not fucking score.
Don't remind me.
He was throwing pillows down on the ground. He was like, oh, my God!
Yeah.
He sounded like the fucking witch from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Yeah. It was unbelievable, man.
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement, but... I don't know. I don't know what the season holds, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, let's say, for some strange cosmic reason, Halak decides to re-sign with the Caps? Do you think he's one of these fortuitous goalies who's going to last as long as like Grant Fuhr or something like that?
Well, he's only 28 right now.
He's just going to drop off.
I mean, you know, it's tough. It's tough. You know, the NHL now has widened the goals. They've shortened the pads that these goalies can wear. You know, so
you alluded to me earlier. You know, you said, who are you going to put in front of him? It's great that Halak is there now. Who are they going to get defensively? Because Mike Green isn't really a defenseman. He's more of an offensive player anyway. Who are you going to get to protect him? If they can get players in there to protect him, it'll be fucking great.
Like I said, the NHL is kind of weird. The guys sign one-year contracts all the time.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, you got to build up the defense. I mean, that's any team could probably say that.
Is he going to end up like the goalie from the Islanders, or are they going to sign him to a 30-year deal?
Let's hope not.
DiPietro.
Rick DiPietro, and then he got knocked out by Brent Johnson. You remember that?
Yeah.
He got his ass whooped.
The Penguins back up.
Yeah, yeah. He got his ass whooped.
Oh,
by
my
that.
God.
Yeah.
I remember jerking off to that game.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling in. We'll be back here, you know, and call in anytime we're on the air. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, see, like, we're going to see you Thursday.
Man. Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for your show, man. This is a breath of fresh air. I got to sit in a room with a bunch of other guys who can't put two fucking professional sports teams together in a sentence.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm right here, asshole.
That is the Sandman for all you listeners of the DBP. Sandman is here.
I love you, Sandman. You're my favorite.
All right, see ya.
You just told me you were my favorite. What's up with that, man? I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. Good night.
Take care, buddy. Interesting call, man. I mean, oh, nope. I thought we had another one. I believe we have another call there, buddy. You want to get on that, or?
How do we?
Here, just close this window.
Close?
Yeah. Right. You're on with the Sports Pollution Podcast. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How's it going?
No complaints. No complaints. What's
my
on your mind?
My boy Vinny up there.
He is. He's got a bewildered look on his face, but he's here. Go say hello.
How's it going?
What's up, man?
Where are
Long
you from?
Time to talk.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. It's been a while. It's been a while. So what's on your mind, man?
Dude, I'm over here. Double teaming the Caps and the Wiz. We're losing in both games right now.
Yeah, I saw
it. I'm watching the Rook over here, Yevgeny. He's playing all right. You can tell he's got good speed, man.
Yeah.
And he's got that nice Russian flawless skate. So.
Yeah, I saw.
I don't know, man. I'm hoping he works out. I'm hoping he gets the Caps that little extra push they can use to get in the playoffs. They'll probably get knocked out in the first or second round, but, you know, it's the Caps. So.
Yeah, the Penguins, the hated Penguins are in town tonight, and I saw the Caps are down 3-2, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, they've been owning us out of the league. Something like they won like 6 or 7 straight, so.
Fuck the Penguins. Fuck Sidney Crosby. Fuck.
Now, we were discussing this earlier, and I'm very interested to hear your opinion on this. Can the Penguins win in the playoffs, considering that teams know how to beat them by being physical?
I mean, it's all about matchups. And they run into obviously Boston's a pretty high seed, so they won't run into them. But that'd be the ideal team, I think, to knock them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who called
other
it?
Other than that, I mean, they've got so much offensive talent, you just can't see anybody beating them until Boston.
Maybe
New York has a chance. I don't know if they've got enough physicality left on their team.
As painful as it is to admit that, I agree completely, you know. The Penguins, their team from top to bottom is pretty solid. I would say that their biggest question mark is in net. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But they got the studs up high, so.
That's right.
We shall see. And the second period just ended, so it's still 3-2.
I appreciate the live update.
I just subscribed to your guys' podcast on iTunes, so I'll be.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yes.
Oh, awesome! Over. Thank you very much, man. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, man. What else is on your mind?
What's that?
What else is on your mind?
Watching the Wiz and LeBron. Every time they put LeBron back in the game, they go up like 10.
I hate that dude, man. He's a hell of a ball player. I can't hate on him for that. I just do not like him.
He's got that whole D-bag vibe.
You know, and the flopping like around like he just got shot. He looks like a soccer player out there sometimes, man. Jesus, that really pisses me off. I could go on a little diatribe, man, but.
But he's a great guy. I mean, off the court, he does a lot of things for his community. I mean, a guy like that, it's kind of hard to hate.
No, it's
you know
not.
What I mean?
No, the decision taking an hour long. Come on, man.
The decision would have been worse if he didn't give all the money that it got to charity, right?
Yeah, but the fact that you have to have an hour long, just say, "Yo, I'm going to go play in Miami." Everybody I would have understood getting out of Cleveland to go to Miami. Absolutely. First of all, the women are much better looking, right?
What about the announcement, man? What about the whole announcement on, was it ESPN or Network TV that I'm leaving the Cavaliers? I mean, who does that?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. That was a little bit far.
That's when I lost
agree.
Respect for him. And I feel like he's just trying to save face.
I agree. Like I'm
and
saying.
To the public, it's been racist.
I have no problem with him leaving Cleveland for Miami. None whatsoever. However, you don't need to go on SportsCenter and have an hour-long presentation to say that. Just say, you know what? Fuck Cleveland. I'm from here, but fuck them. Yeah. They suck. They're never going to win shit. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I think everybody who wants to win a championship would have understood that. But you make it all about you.
You think that was him or just bad advice he got from, you know, his army of advisors that I know he's got around him?
It's got to be.
Behind the scenes.
I would imagine somewhere 50-50 on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it was his agent had a lot to do with that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best player in basketball, so, I mean, that's cool. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Cleveland just to, you know, just because he feels like the need that, like, yeah, maybe I am, I did come off as a D-bag, maybe I didn't need to make it up to him, but, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes to the Wiz. We get that number three seed.
Yeah, I think so.
We get a superstar.
They're fun to watch, man. The Wizards, this season, they've been fun to watch.
To be honest, I've been watching more of the Wiz game tonight than the Cavs game.
Yeah,
even though they are playing the Pens.
Can't say I blame you. But you know the Wizards. I enjoy watching their games. Like I'm not much into basketball. I'll be honest with you. I'm probably the only black
dude. John Wall's a stud athletically, and he's got a good head on him. You know?
Yeah,
he's got a brain.
And Beal hitting big time shots.
I think he's striving to get better. I think he wants to be the best. So
good.
As long as he keeps rolling like that, man, I think we're going to be good with the Wiz in the next couple of years. We just need a scorer, man. We need like a Carmelo. He's a free agent. I wouldn't mind seeing him. Even though he's a team cancer, I think if he comes in and he buys in, I don't know if Whitman's going to be there at the end of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone and they go and get a more established coach now that they're kind of up on the rise. And they bring in, if they can get a stud player, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Wizards take another step. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs this year, obviously, because the East is so weak. But I wouldn't be surprised.
You think, though, if they get the 3-seed, that Leonsis would fire him?
I think it's contract. If that's
the case, then you're probably right. But yeah, I take that back. I would agree with you.
If you had to pick between Carmelo Anthony coming here or Kevin Love, who would you pick and why?
Kevin Love. I mean, a stretch forward that's got a two-way forward that's got three ball range. I mean, that's something. I mean, he's like one of the rarest birds in the NBA. So I would take Love, and also based off of, you know, the whole Carmelo team cancer thing.
Yeah.
I think I'd like Love. He's gonna end up in LA, dude. He went to UCLA. He's from out there. He's already wearing the purple and gold, dude. It's just a matter of time.
Well,
if you ask me.
In an interesting, you say that because you know being hometown and all. What about Kevin Durant? If and when he becomes a free agent, you think he'd come here?
Durant's already. I already heard him. I heard some news clip or something like that, like 2 to 3 weeks ago, that says he doesn't want anything to do with this area other than to visit his family. He doesn't want to play basketball here. So that's kind of like the dagger to the heart as far as ever training. Maybe after another 4 years, maybe after he does another contract.
Yeah.
I don't know
off the top of my head. I don't know when his contract is up, but I would imagine personally. Now, I root for the Wizards because, you know, I'm from here. That's my hometown. But if I'm him, I wouldn't leave Oklahoma City. I think he's got a better chance of winning an NBA title there than he would here, personally.
Oh, definitely. I mean, but look, I mean, we're getting pieces into place. The Wizards are definitely on the rise. I mean, the East is weak this year, but I mean, I think we're one or two pieces away from competing with the Indiana and the Miamis of the world.
I mean,
if you ask me, that's a little hometown bias as well.
I hear you. No, I totally trust me. I get it, but I mean, they play Miami pretty tough. They play even when, like, when John Wall first came to the league and they were terrible, they were playing Miami tough. So, yeah. You know, I think he got
rid of those the Andre blotches and the knuckleheads in the world. Yeah. Shows you what a little hustle does, right?
Yeah. Hey, I would take guys who are no-name guys who work hard every night over guys who can maybe play a little better, but they take days off. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm with you 100%. Hustle is... You know, I'm all about the hustle. That's me all the way.
So
sorry, man. I got a roll, but I'm going to subscribe to your guys' podcast.
Great, man.
Let's play some golf this year, man. It's warming up.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, brother.
If you're down,
let me know.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks, man. You too. Have a good one.
All right, bye.
Yeah. All right,
bye, bye. You know, this is going to sound like a bit of bias, but I appreciate our fans calling in. I mean,
they
seem to be pretty knowledgeable.
Absolutely.
On all sorts of topics, like, you know, obviously. He was knowledgeable about the Caps and basketball, so that's good. I mean, it's always nice to talk to people who are knowledgeable. I mean, you know, you listen to some other shows and you get some fans calling. Maybe they've been doing some drinking, but you know, they sound ignorant.
They don't know
as fuck. Right? And you're like,
they say the dumbest shit.
Yeah,
you know. I understand trying to entertain people. You're trying to make people laugh, or you want to be funny,
right.
or you're trolling and you're trying to piss somebody off. I get that. I completely do, but yeah.
The
at the end of the day, our fans, they call in and they know what's going on. They know what they're doing, and I really appreciate that.
I do too. So. By D, shout out to you guys. Thanks. We wouldn't do it for any other reason than for you guys, obviously. So,
thank you very much to all of our fans.
Yeah.
And if you want to catch our podcast, it is sportspollution.podomatic.com. Once again, that's sportspollution.podomatic.com. Thank you very much for tuning in to episode 3 of Sports Pollution Podcast, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, guys. Thanks. Have a good one.